Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Hi, everyone, and good morning. Hope everyone was able to get through the weekend all right. It was definitely not your average weekend. Not even talking about sports. You don't need me to tell you what happened late on Saturday. So hope everybody is well. Maybe we can dial the temperature down at least a little bit for these next 3 hours on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. Phil Elson here along with my friend Matt Jones. Kristen Johnston back in the studio chair after Friday where he was not in there. Morning, guys. How are you today? Matt, we had some later soccer than was expected yesterday with the crush at the gates at Hard Rock Stadium. And boy, I had a couple of really good matches yesterday, and I was able to get my eyes on the last, I guess, about 20 minutes of the Copa America final, Euro 24, another classic win for Spain. So you might have been up a little bit later than you had planned. What was it, about an hour and 20-minute difference in what they said kickoff time would be and when it actually did start?
Yeah, it's wild on the frontier. You think Miami is Colombia's second home, and then Messi, you know, he's Jordan. He's there. You see kind of the age going. That might have been Messi's last game ever in an Argentina shirt. Now he might go play in a friendly somewhere where they can carry him off the field or go out the right way, so to speak. I think going out the right way is winning a trophy. But the two favorites won. I told you Spain and Argentina were the two favorites, and they were able to hold through and win. The craziest thing, Phil, when you look back and hear Messi's story from back when he was 14, 15 years old, you know that he could have been Spanish or Argentine. That's dual citizenship. So he could have been playing all his time with that Spain's team instead of Argentina. But, man, it was pretty cool. Di Maria, one of my favorites. That was his last game in an Argentina shirt. But, yeah, man, there was so much excitement. That second half of the Euros was phenomenal. The way Argentina plays with Messi, when you play in defense, you're not really going to counterattack. You're just trying to get the ball back and then play possession. So it looked a little slower, you know, if you're just looking aesthetically at those two games. But soccer season's over for a while. Everybody take a month off, and we'll be back at the end of August.
Yeah. Well, you know what does start today. It's already started. You might have been watching on SEC Network. Greg Sankey had his opening statements at the SEC Media Days, the Omni in downtown Dallas. And I think Brian Kelly should be done with his comments by now. In about 35 minutes, it's Shane Beamer from South Carolina. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt will be speaking later on this afternoon. And yes, of course, it is the second day of the Major League Baseball draft. You also have the All-Star Home Run Derby, right not too far away from where the football people are all gathered in the SEC media days today. So it is a pretty busy day across the world of sports, certainly for the sports and the athletes that we pay attention to. A big congratulations out to Hagan Smith for going earlier than folks expected by at least one or two picks. Went to Chicago, fifth overall. White Sox have a history with left-handed pitchers, and I think if you see how they handled Garrett Crochet, he was a left-hander that we saw pitch for Tennessee a few years ago. You might see them do the same thing with Hagan Smith as they're gearing up to maybe trade some of their older pitchers and try to get a little bit of a younger pitching staff. So, and we'll probably hear, maybe hear, about two or three other Razorbacks called today, and then there'll be some other guys who may make it to campus. But if your name is called today, you're pretty much not expected to make it to campus. So shortstop signee was drafted yesterday. Tyler Lewis out of Tennessee, out of Nebraska, so you wouldn't expect him to be making it to campus. And two more days left in the draft.
That's pretty cool, Phil. I always enjoy when a Razorback player gets taken, and to get taken that highly in the draft. That's pretty cool. Another cool thing was the Scottish Open. Bobby McIntyre, who last year got beat by one by Rory McIlroy, which he birdied 18, and then Rory birdied 18, so he lost the Scottish Open on the very last hole. This year, he makes a 25-footer for birdie on the 18. To win the Scottish Open, first ever Scot to win their own tournament, so that made it pretty cool as well.
Yeah, so I mean, we've kind of hit on most of the things involving sports that you would hit on to start the show today, and here's what we've got on halftime on this Monday. Things this week a little bit different, just because it's SEC Media Days, and we've got Ty Richardson and Tommy Kraft at the Media
Double
Days.
Trouble.
That's right.
Whoa.
It's like the whole 5 days a week host of the Morning Rush are out there together at the same time, man. I wonder if they're actually like hanging out together.
It's like that's the A team and we're like the C team. We'll never get invited to that. It's like we'll send the A team to that.
Well, you notice who did not get asked to go to SEC Media Days.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. You've made your trips to SEC Media Days. Do you do it once or twice as
Coach
the
Nutt? When I was there, he was real big on only seniors were captain. Okay. type of thing, and I want to say my junior year George Wilson was one of the guys, but he'd usually take two or three people.
Okay, so you've done that before. You've done the been there, done that. I've not been to SEC Media Days, but I'm gonna be on the road for about 10 straight months pretty much once football season starts, so not something that I was asked to do, thank goodness. So we'll be speaking with both of them on the show today. Ty Richardson's coming up in the next segment, and then we'll have Tommy Kraft at about 1:15. We've got Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation at 12:15. Heavy, heavy football conversation with the three of them. But you got to hit on the 800-pound gorilla, the elephant in the room, so to speak. What happened Saturday afternoon in Butler, Pennsylvania, which is just north. I've been to Butler. That's just north of my hometown, Pittsburgh. Tragic, you know. I mean, it's just got to be happy that there wasn't any more carnage that was done when it comes to, you know, just the actual amount of human life. I don't even want to mention the shooter's name. And something tells me that was, I don't know, who knows what this kid's motive was to try to assassinate Donald Trump. Sometimes I wonder if it's a matter that these people want to have their name spoken throughout the annals of time because they feel forgotten while they're alive. That's just throwing an idea out there, but I don't even want to mention his name. The man who deserves to be mentioned is Corey Comparator, who was a volunteer firefighter chief who was killed while he was protecting his family, literally just shielding his family from these bullets that had been shot from amazingly, but what, 415 feet away from where Trump was speaking?
I heard 160 yards. Is that about what you heard?
I think that's about the same.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't even, I mean, that is the distance from about home plate to the batter's eye in center field at Baum Walker Stadium. Just the idea that someone with a rifle was that close to a former president and someone who will be the nominee for the Republicans, as we well know, in the next couple of days. It's shocking. That, first and foremost, is shocking.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff that have come out, and I don't know what's true or not true, and you're trying to glean as much information and what's misdirection and what's truth. And they said the sniper had the suspect in his sights but was waiting on the green light to go. Hmm. My thought is, if somebody has a gun, I'm sorry, you don't bring a gun to that. I gotta shoot you. Yeah, it's no like kidding. That's if you're posted up with a gun looking at the president, well, man, that's we gotta fire one at you. We can't let you fire first, but more stuff will come out.
Well, the thing that I don't have any ideas on why this happened or the background of this kid who tried to assassinate Donald Trump. I'm not just going to sit here and try to say we all need to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, because that's not what that's about. It's the understanding that we all have our disagreements about this. And again, this has nothing to do with the would-be assassin. This has to do with trying to keep society together while it feels like it's bursting at the seams from all the pressure that we live through. That also I think is just sort of composed within our elections at the same time, where the hype is just sort of just frenzied up to a crazy level. What I really would hope is that we're not using the word they very, very much. You know, they tried to do this, they tried to do that, as if there's some big monolith out there that's, you know, trying to destroy one side or the other. And I guess maybe that is the truth in some cases, but when it comes to the people who are on both sides, when you're looking at the other side as they and not we, as Americans, as people that live in the same country and are trying to build a better life for ourselves and our kids and the people that come after us, I feel like the word they is probably the worst word we can use. We, just a very simple change in the language. I would like us to use the word we instead of they. I don't know if there was one side that was out here trying to murder one of the two people that's going to be running for the most powerful office in the entire world. So, and this is not a topic that we need to be hitting on throughout the show today, but it is one of the most amazing things that I think I've lived through, certainly in the last 23 years, not seen something like this before. So I just would hope, and again, it's 2 days after, and maybe I'm a little naive to think about this. We've got to find a way to dial the temperature down a little bit here. We have to find a way to do that. And you're not going to do that here on this show necessarily, but just a little bit of a change in mindset might help. We can make our votes. We can vote for whom we want when the chance comes. But I don't like thinking like the other side is an enemy in a political way, because I don't really think that that's true. So those are some thoughts I have on this. You know, we don't need to be taking calls about it. Texts are great, of course, though. 877-377-6963, if you want to hit on any of those things. So sports are the topic for halftime today. And after the break, we're going to be visiting. Matt, I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to say something after I went through that soliloquy.
Yeah, we'll play Huey Lewis in the news and in sports. Well, I was reading Habakkuk today, and it was in the first 11 verses, and it talks about the Chaldeans taking over and the Lord talking about how he's putting certain people in power. You know, it's all a part of his plan anyways. I think as Americans, we're spoiled. We got it too easy. We're manufacturing some things that are problems, or it's like, be united. We're the United States. So come together.
So that's where we'll leave it for the time being. And after a very quick break, we'll be visiting with Ty Richardson, who is right now at SEC Media Days at Radio Row. Halftime is back right after this.
This is Halftime.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Eastside Liquor has a large selection of summertime lake drinks. Stop by to pick up some Welch's Vodka Cranberry and Vodka Transfusion, Minute Maid Spiked Strawberry Daiquiri and Lime Margarita, Bikini Island Variety Pack, some Smirnoff Smash Vodka Soda. Try their Gin and Juice Citrus and the Variety Pack by Dre and Snoop. High Noon Vodka Seltzers, Sun Cruiser Iced Tea Vodka, Surfside Charter Pack, Topo Chico Hard Seltzer, and White Claw Hard Seltzer. Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Good morning, Ty Richardson. You've been up early, obviously.
3:30, baby.
Yeah, but that's every day. That's not every day that you've got, you know, all these radio brethren all around you.
That's Kobe Bryant hours right there. I like it, Ty.
One was a great one in his craft. The other one, not so much. But yeah, no, this is a pretty good presentation right in the center of downtown Dallas, and there is a lot of people. As the SEC has expanded, so has Radio Row, so has the media attendance, and it's nice for us because it's an easy 4.5-hour drive, but for others, like in Georgia and out east, it's not as fun for them, guys.
So what's the – I mean, you're in Dallas, so you're right there where the Red River rivalry takes place.
Yep.
Do you feel the do you feel Texas and Oklahoma more than the other schools? Is it because I think there are some people that have been a little nervous that this week is more about Texas and Oklahoma than it is about the league overall. Does it feel right now like it's SEC, or does it have a little more feeling that this is OU Texas?
Yeah, it's a love fest, Phil, and our listeners hate that, and I don't blame them. This is one, it's like, hey, let's bring these guys to league and give them not only – let's allow them to be in the Southeastern Conference, but let's acquiesce to their request by traveling to Dallas, Texas. And listen, it's a huge media market, and I get why they're doing it. But there has been it's not just an olive branch. I mean, the issue with Texas has always been whatever conference they are a part of, they ultimately destroy it. I think the SEC's from a leadership standpoint, it's not going to let that happen. But and there's a lot of – you talk to Southwest Conference, you talk to any league that Texas has ever been a part of, Big 12, they try and get their way. They won't have that same power, I would say, in the Southeastern Conference, though.
It sounded like Sankey was asked that exact question without really being asked with those exact words. And
You know, I mean, I think from I remember his answer at this question and answer session was, I think I just answered that question in my last statement. It's 16 schools. There's not one that's more important than the other when it comes to voting power, or anything like that. It's just they're going to get the spotlight right now.
Yep.
Because they're Texas and they're coming into this league and they get a spotlight more than Oklahoma does, too.
Yeah, they do, and it helps that they were in the college football playoff last year and they went to Alabama and won that football game. Oklahoma beat them last year and won 10 games, but I think Chuck said, I said on this program or on the Morning Rush a week or so ago, Texas and Oklahoma fans envision themselves as national champ contenders every single year. What I'm curious about is, does that mindset change with going to a tougher league where you can't coast one weekend? There's no coasting in the SEC, but Texas fans and Oklahoma fans you talk to, they think they're going to come in and have success immediately. We saw A&M have success right from the jump with the Heisman Trophy winner winning 11 games. Missouri, it took a year, and then they were in the SEC championship two straight years under Gary Pinkle. I'm curious to see what the timeline looks like for Oklahoma and Texas to have success in this league.
Hey, Ty, is Texas, who's the biggest contender to contend with Georgia? Is it Texas? Is it Oklahoma? Is it Alabama? Georgia's probably picked. It looks like Georgia's picked to win. Who do you think has a chance to unseat Georgia this year?
Man, I would have to say Ole Miss, Texas, and Tommy brought up Missouri. I mean, you look at Missouri's schedule, I mean, they should cakewalk into 10 wins, guys. I mean, they were gifted a schedule from the Southeastern Conference that lends to the idea of Eli Drinkwitz winning back-to-back 10-win games. I think from a talent standpoint, roster up. Ole Miss has got to be up there, especially what they had on the defensive line. And then Alabama, like you said, Matt, they host Georgia this year. And they're the tiebreaker scenario being head-to-head, one of them, I mean, that's a huge game. And it's the first big game for Kalen DeBoer as the Alabama head football coach. So if I had to pick one, I've never hoped I've been wrong more in my life, but it's Texas. I hope Texas flounders and fails, but I just think that they're gonna have success in year one. So I'm gonna say Texas, Matt.
If you remember, Phil, when Missouri came into the SEC East, they won the SEC East. I know it's not
2 years in a row.
I know it's not. Yeah, right. And everybody thought Florida. So yeah, you could. I wouldn't be surprised to see OU or Texas be up there. And what do you think, Ty? The top three teams in the SEC make the playoff 12. You got to get to 10 wins, you think?
Yeah, no question. I would be, guys, if we're sitting here at the beginning of December and three teams are not in the college football playoff from this league, I'll be shocked. I mean, it sets up perfectly. And the good thing about the SEC is you don't need to, like, you got other conferences going to 9. I mean, you don't have to do that. You can stay at 8. Now, I know money will lend itself to eventually moving out, but there's no, like, rush to move to that 9 conference games. I know some have asked for 10, but it's just really not a need, Matt. So I'm with you, at least three.
Well, the only way that this league moves to 9 games in the conference is if ESPN is ponying up more money for an extra week of conference games, because if it's about access, they don't need the 9th game for access to the playoff 12. Mm-hmm. They never needed it to get into the playoff 4. So it's strictly going to be about money. But the number that you'd mentioned, 16, that's a number that Sankey hit on a lot in his speaking there. And there's messages to be delivered along with the message that you're delivering at the same time. And everybody knows if you're saying 16 now, 16 tomorrow, everybody thinks that the ACC is about to blow up and that Clemson and Florida State are fits into this conference. But when I listen to Greg Sankey talk, that ain't about to happen.
No, I think you're right, Phil. And I think the Big 12 wants to outshine the SEC this week, and I think that news is actually going to drop, that someone credible is going to come out with it. Because, I mean, I drove by the Big 12 conference. It's in Dallas, and the SEC is kind of taking some of the spotlight, not just from a local standpoint, but it would be kind of petty, but I would kind of like for the Big 12 to announce this week, that they're moving forward on this, because, like, we know it's coming. It's just a matter of when. Listen, credit to that director and that commissioner. I think it's Yormak is how you say his last name, because he was aggressive, unlike the Pac-12 one. I think Larry Scott was the one before the next guy, Klykov, took it over. And it's going to pay off. I don't know if we'll necessarily put the Big 12 in the same conversation with the Big 10 and the SEC anytime soon, but they're in a much better position, I think, than the ACC and definitely the Pac-12, guys.
One guy, has LSU already spoken? Has Brian Kelly already
been
up there?
Yes, okay. He got up. And you know what's funny? We're going to play off this tomorrow, and hopefully you get the audio before the end of the show. You know, remember a couple years ago when he did that Cajun accent, like at the football game?
Yes.
Family,
right?
Yeah, and he gets asked about Ireland, right, Phil? And all of a sudden, I knew he was Catholic. I didn't know he was Irish Catholic. I should have, I guess, by Kelly. Then he starts really trying to push the Irish in him. As soon as he heard, there's a reporter from the United Kingdom that flew to Dallas and was asking him about the possibility of LSU playing in Ireland at some point, in Dublin, I guess. And he immediately just tried to push, the Irish accent and the Irish, not dialect. It was very funny. I was like, am I hearing this right? And then he went back kind of to talking how he normally talks. So that's
a guy who reads his clippings. He knows what people expect of him now.
Yes.
They expect some cringe moments from Brian Kelly. And if we don't get him, we think something's wrong.
Yeah, no, he's going to get it. So that was probably the funniest part. But I think you brought it up during the break. The funniest part thus far, I walked 2 feet away from Nick Saban earlier.
Is he wearing his credential now?
He wasn't when I walked by him, Phil.
For those who don't know, I was watching the SEC Network when before Sankey came on, and they open up SEC Now, and there's Laura Rutledge and Takeo Spikes and Nick Saban, and Saban's in the middle, and they just detail how Saban was not allowed inside the room because he wasn't wearing his credential. I get it. He's not a coach any longer. He's issued a credential. When you're a coach and you show up with your players and you got an entourage and security, it's pretty obvious you're a coach.
Yeah.
But are you telling me that somebody who's working security there didn't know that what Nick Saban looks like and be like, okay, there might be two people, maybe two, that aren't coaches or players that are at media days. You might just let them go where they want to go. You just got to know what their face looks like. One of them is the commissioner and the other one is Nick Saban.
And apparently it didn't go that way. So I'm curious. I would have loved to see his reaction. I don't know if we're going to get that or not. That might have gone under the table. But
he was preparing for this his whole life. He was hall monitor in third grade, man. He woke up today like, I wish somebody would come in without a lanyard.
Look, you're told to do a job, right? You got to stick to it. That's what Saban said. He was like, he's just trying to do his job. Takeo Spikes looks at him and said, fired. They got to be fired right now.
Matt, I don't know if you guys had bag tags or stuff to get in the practice facility or anything back in the day. And I guess it wasn't fully renovated, but that'd be the equivalent of in the early 2000s, Matt's trying to go to practice or something, forgets his identification, and they don't let him in the building. That's what it was this morning, I guess, for Nick Saban.
See, I would think Spurrier would be on that. If Spurrier shows up, you'd be like, come on in, Steve.
Let him. That's exactly right. You got to know the people. So, all right, you mentioned Spurrier. Everybody wanted to hear Spurrier, in media days. Saban's not there. Well, I'm sure Saban is speaking. He's just not speaking up on the dais as the Alabama head coach. Who is the coach that everybody wants to hear from now? And I think, well, at least today, it's got to be Lane Kiffin.
Lane's speaking today?
Yeah. He speaks today. His father just passed away.
Yeah.
He's got this probably the best team Ole Miss has had in a long, long time. That's got to be the guy. Plus, you never quite know what he's going to say.
Yeah, I think it's Kiffin. I don't think it's close. It's never good timing to lose your father by any stretch of the imagination, but that has to be on the hearts of or on his mind heading into the day. His focus is probably on that as well, in addition to everything he has to talk about. So I'm actually you think about what Monty Kiffin was able to do at Arkansas and that defense in the late 70s. I'd like him to expand on that. I don't know if he's going to. I mean that's personal, and I don't know which way he's going to go on that, but you just never know what he's going to say. And he may be, you think about the expectation that you just spoke to, Phil. Is he going to be flamboyant? Is he going to be over the top? Is he going to be what he's been in years past, where Ole Miss is just kind of a middle-of-the-run program? And now, they're going to be – I would not be surprised by the end of the week if we see the – highest vote totals go to, it's going to Georgia, like Matt, you said earlier. And then if Ole Miss is at two, I'm not going to be surprised by that at all based on who they have on that roster. They got the best skill position players in the SEC. They have a loaded defensive line. I mean, that's the, from a roster standpoint, they have about as much of a comparison with Georgia, and that's hard, but that would probably be the one that you looked at and say, yeah, they've got a SEC roster as close to Georgia as there is.
What, do we know when the preseason teams come out? Like, the Big 12 did it before anybody spoke last week. Is the SEC waiting until everybody has spoken?
Yeah, I think it's. I think it gets released Thursday afternoon, if I remember that right. You got to vote by Wednesday, and then I think it's Thursday afternoon. Maybe it's Friday. We got to get our votes in by a certain time period, but memory serves me correct, it's either Thursday or Friday.
Okay. All-Star Home Run Derby tonight, Ty. Not too far from where you're going to go. You sneaking in?
Yeah, we were talking about that. So the All-Star game is also, obviously, being in Globe Life. It's also tomorrow. There's an event in Globe Life, but I got more interest in watching the Home Run Derby than I do the All-Star game. I don't know how you feel about that, Phil, but it's just more appealing to me for that, just a common baseball fan. But yes, I've thought about it. I'm kind of on the fence right now if I'm going to skip the thing at the Dallas Theater tonight and just venture out to Globe Life for the All-Star game.
Find you a Colombian. They know how to sneak into games.
Just don't crush anybody on your way in, okay?
Okay. I'll do my best not to do that.
Yeah, you're a pretty peaceful guy, Ty. I can try to be. That. Yeah, you are. Hey, man, thanks for hopping on. We'll have you next. I think we got you tomorrow, don't we? We got you every day this week outside of Friday.
That's the plan, dude. Happy to do it. Happy to be here all week.
You and me on the radio again in the middle of the day. Ooh, brings back some memories, doesn't
it? Some feels, doesn't it, Phil?
Yeah, it does. All right, Ty, have a great rest of the day. And, hey, just take my advice. Go to the Home Run Derby, okay? It's better than whatever's going on at the theater. I guarantee you that.
Will do, buddy.
Okay, that's Ty Richardson at Radio Row in Dallas.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Glad Shrink, feeling fine, so fresh. Glad Stretch.
Glad Shrink with sis to take you back. Grandma's place always smells like pine. She said get out the chat room and clean mine.
Glad Stretch, feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap.
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
Hickey & Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hole Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Headed over to our hotline where Mike Irwin is with us from Pig Trail Nation as SEC Media Days start off. Mike, how you doing today?
Good. Have you guys discussed this this statement that Greg Sankey made just maybe an hour or so ago at Media Days about the athletes not wanting to be employees of the university?
We hadn't hit that one up yet, but that was certainly that was one thing that now he said he's spoken to a lot of athletes and that he views himself as an advocate for student athletes. I don't know if he said first and foremost. I've always thought that the commissioner of the SEC really is like the commissioner of a major league. You really are representative of the owners, which means the athletic directors and the chancellors and all of that. So what did you make of that statement?
Here's what I read into that. If I'm these athletes, it sounds like to me a lot of them have agents, and we know they do, and the agents are going to say, what? You don't want this. It's going to reduce the amount you're getting. Because look what college athletes have, especially the high-profile guys that are getting all the money, mm-hmm. the football players, the basketball players. They've got no draft, no salary cap, total free agency because they have no contracts. They've got the best of everything, and that cannot continue, guys. First of all, there's Title IX lawsuits, more than one, awaiting all of these schools, because sooner or later you've got to start paying a lot of these female athletes more and really just athletes in general, and that's what this super division would do by paying these athletes. Okay, you get your scholarship, your normal benefits, and then you add a total on the top of that, $30,000 a year, $40,000. If you give it to each athlete, you eliminate the issues that we've already seen, issues that popped up in Arkansas's football program last year. It's just common sense. Plus, anybody with a brain knows you cannot continue to allow the open free agency exists right now. You've got guys going to a school. There have even been some instances where somebody went to a school, didn't even compete, and then left again and went to another school because you've got this open bidding for athletes through the portal, which would never happen in professional sports. So I can see why they don't want it. They've got the best of both worlds. But I want to hear what all athletes say, not just football players and high-profile basketball players. Talk to some of these athletes in some of these spring sports and see what they have to say.
Mike, these football kids, when they you're saying they all have agents now, and so they're already being contacted in the middle of the season because the rule is you can't talk the player, but somebody's contacting these players and there's an agent that's relaying this message that says, hey, so such and such school is going to give you this amount of money next year. So that's why I think you see a lot of these kids opt out. You see a lot of these kids. I'm not saying Rocket Sanders wasn't hurt last year, but I think he saw what was going on, and people are advising him, man, there's no reason to play this year. Your knee's a little banged up. Stay out. I think you're going to see a lot more of that in college football.
Absolutely, and that's why this is probably going to change. Again, there's two reasons why I think you're going to see athletes become employees of the university. Number one is what I've already mentioned. It's going to be more fair for the other athletes that aren't making all this money right now, and especially it's going to deal with potential Title IX lawsuits. And, you know, and the other thing is, if you don't do something, you're going to lose the fans. Fans are sick and tired of a guy coming to their school for 1 year and then leaving because he gets a better offer to go to another school. Just the open bidding of players, like there's no contract anymore. I mean, working at a television station, I got a contract. You have contracts. You can't just jump up and go to another place. You sign a contract. You say, I'm going to work here for this amount for 2 or 3 years. These athletes are just doing whatever they want.
This whole idea of the Super League's got to be an undercurrent at this media day event and every other media day event, because on the outside, you know, above the surface, the conversation is all about, will the ACC break up? Florida State, Clemson, where are they going to go? Big 12, it seems where they're going to go. You got Greg Sankey talking about 16 schools. 16 mm-hmm. schools today, 16 schools tomorrow. Nobody's going to bring up Super League. You're not going to hear a commissioner talk about that. That question gets asked. That question will be, you'll get commissioners speak about that. But it does seem that's the future of the sport. It's just the powers that be don't want to talk about it publicly.
Yeah, if this Super League comes about, all this stuff changes anyway. You're going to have, what I've heard is 45 schools, maybe 64, and they're going to split them up into various conferences. You can call them whatever you want. If they're smart, they'll do it by regions. Because this talk about the ACC now joining the Big 12, are you kidding me? You're going to have people from the East Coast playing people from the West Coast in volleyball. You're going to have people flying all over the country. That's nuts. So if you reorganize this thing and do it by a more geographical location and everybody's having to provide the same amount, then you eliminate the open bidding of players because you'd no longer be able to bid for players. You just get this amount. Now, there may be extra NIL money available for some players, but they would have to do that after they got on campus. It would allow the NCAA to go back and enforce its rules. Right now, it can't enforce any rules.
Well, you got to find a way to tie, you know, length of time on campus to something. You know, in professional sports, we do this through contracts that involve money. This is a job. You will be paid this amount to play this many games. It's pretty easy to look into that. And then all the other contract language comes afterwards. I mean, if you're talking about how to not have, you know, everybody's a free agent every year, then there has to be a way to tie a contract to something. And it has to be money, because that's the only thing it can be tied to. It's not going to be tied to the scholarship.
And think about why these agents would be telling athletes, don't do this. You don't want to be for this. Spread it around. We don't want to do this. Because the agents are going to make less money. They don't want that. So somebody is going to have to wake up and start talking about real issues here and what has to be done to save college athletics. Because I've covered college athletics for over 50 years, and I know the difference between a typical college sports fan and a pro fan. They have a different mentality about things. And I've talked to Razorback fans left and right all over the place, and there's just way more of them that are upset about this than accepting of it. And they want something to be done. They're willing to ride along with this for a while, but they don't want it to last forever because it's just, you want to, I don't know, you're almost getting into a situation where it's like being a fan of a minor league baseball team. You don't want to watch a minor league team. You get excited about a guy today and he's gone tomorrow. You can't really, you know, get into any of this stuff. And I think college sports fans want to see a kid come in and be around for two or three years.
Yeah, you want to see the maturity and the maturation process. No question about it. With SEC Media Days, Mike, with it going on this week, who's the one coach you want to hear from? And would it be Lane Kiffin that's going today? I think Coach Pittman goes in a couple of days. But who's the one coach you want to hear from, and what would you ask?
Yeah, I've asked Kiffin about all, you know, how are you going to deal with the rat poison? We've talked about rat poison. All Ole Miss has heard about for the last 8 or 9 months is how good they're going to be. They're going to win the SEC. They may compete for a national championship because of the way they use their NIL, the portal people they got. So I'd ask him, you know, how are you handling that? How are you going to handle with all these expectations with your fan base? And really, honestly, with Sam Pittman, it's the same thing. How are you going to deal with all of these fans that think you're about to be fired? Now, he did answer this a little bit the other day, and it was an interesting comment. Somebody asked him if he felt like he was on the hot seat, and he said, I'm on the hot seat with some fans. I'm not on the hot seat with my boss. So let's see if he says something like that at Media Days. But to be honest with you, Matt, you know who I want to hear from? Talen Green. Yeah. This kid is going from the Mountain West to the SEC. He's going to go from a press conference where he's got 15 people in it, 20, to walking in that big room at SEC Media Days where there's 500, 600 writers in there throwing questions at you, that is a test of kind of how you're going to handle all this situation.
We know we feel really good about Andrew Armstrong. This is something I'll get into in the next segment. Armstrong, I think, can improve. But even if he doesn't, if he gives you the same kind of season he had the year before, I guess you'd be pretty happy. But who else amongst this group of wide receivers can, you know, be a legit number two or maybe even the number one? Because you can't just have the one weapon. I think that I like what we've got in terms of talent, in terms of speed. I'm just not quite sure who else is going to be featured this year.
I've got my eye on Fatina. I mean, that kid has speed, and speed is what does it. And Bobby Petrino loves to work with athletes who are fast. I just think he's going to have a big year. You know, he's a local kid. You want to see it happen, but I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that, you know, he can do this. Now, you know, it's probably too much to expect this pro baseball player that showed up to maybe his first year to do something amazing, but on the other hand, he's mature. And then they got this fast wide receiver out of Texas that was a quarterback, and they convinced him to come here as a wide receiver, and he's really fast too. I think with Petrino, based on what I saw when he was here before, he's gonna feature the speed guys.
Offense can take I think we all expect. It's not just a matter that you couldn't be much worse than the offense was last year. Looking at the personnel, you know, the idea of a second year for Ty Washington and a second year for Luke Haas, and they're both healthy, rebuilt offensive line. It does feel like the offense this year under Bobby Petrino can take a giant step forward, not just a small step.
The only thing that's going to hurt if it happens is injuries, because when I look at this team and the way they rebuilt it, it's good one deep. The offensive line looks pretty good one deep. What happens if you start getting injuries there? Same thing at wide receiver. Same thing at running back. You got a couple of running backs in there that look pretty good. Well, you got to just hope. Arkansas is due to have a relatively injury-free season. It just seems like every year stuff pops up like this. But that's the one thing I would worry about. I think they're in good shape, one deep right now. Let's see what happens when they start playing games.
Hey, Mike, what's your three teams? If there's going to be at least three SEC teams that make the playoff 12, right now, what would your three teams be?
Well, I mean, you'd traditionally go with Georgia, obviously. Alabama's such a question mark under a new coach. I'm not going to say Texas. Some people are saying that. I want to see how they handle the SEC. My buddies in Lubbock, the last 7, 8, 9 years, I'd call them up, and they're always talking about, oh, Texas lost to Kansas State. Texas lost to Iowa State. Texas lost to Texas Tech. Let's see if they get tripped up like that. So I'm not going to pick them, but I'd go with Alabama maybe. I'd go with Georgia. I'm probably go with Ole Miss. I think they're going to be good, and Lane Kiffin is a good coach, and he's really built them up. So we'll see.
I should be talking in about an hour, I think, and we'll be listening once we get off the air here. Mike, always appreciate your time on these Mondays. Thank you very much. We'll revisit next week.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Irwin, Pig Troll Nation, with us each Monday on Halftime.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Glad,
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
My Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's
Fine
Jewelry.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Headed right to the Omni Hotel, Dallas, right now. Tommy Kraft is with us. He is at SEC Media Days at Radio Row. Our coverage presented by WT Equipment, WTEquip.com. WT Equipment, your partner in progress. Tommy, it's been a long day, man. I mean, you host a radio program in the morning. You got four press conferences to sit through, and, well, five, actually, that Sankey spoke as well. You got the players going on, and you can hear it all going around you. You got your energy up?
Well, I'll get a good nap during Clark Lee. He'll be up a little bit later on. Let's see, what time is my nap? He's in the main room at 3:20 to 3:50, so I figure I could catch a few Z's during Clark Lee's address.
Very good. That works. That could definitely – it's a good thing they scheduled him last. They did
Vanderbilt
that on purpose.
Coach, for those that don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's reasons why they schedule people at a certain spot.
Yeah. No, it's been active. I was telling you as we were getting ready to go on, and I guess it's on College Football Live. Just, 10 feet to my left is Brian Kelly sitting on a set, and just right behind me now is Shane Beamer. They're making their rounds here on Radio Row, but it's set, and it was nearly an hour total of Greg Sankey's kind of what I think is a state of the union of college football, guys. You know, he spent his first 10 or 15 minutes going over the accomplishments of the league, but really got into, you know, there is no easy button to fix all of the problems. He talked about, you know, what's going to have to happen with Congress, but more or less the crux of what he wanted to talk about as far as the future of college athletics, not just football, but all the sports, is how do you get a levelized, equal playing field across all of, not just the SEC schools, but across the board in college athletics. How do you navigate that without a national standard when each state has a standard, and you're trying to maneuver around about five different, what he called, playing courts that you're working through. So the idea that we're going to fix this problem overnight, he made it pretty clear that that's not going to happen.
You know, we talk about like a level playing field. Look at the various major leagues. All of those teams share equally in the national media revenue. Every team in a college conference shares equal amounts of national TV revenue and media revenue. But the conferences are not equal in the money that they bring in. That's what all of this movement has been about. So, you know, for really the idea of having a level playing field across college sports, I think, is impossible. Unless the conferences break up and you have one big deal where everybody is sharing the exact same amount of media money that's coming in. Otherwise, you know, we're talking about a different situation. And even inside the league itself, I mean, are we being honest here about are the Razorbacks and the Georgia Bulldogs playing the same sport? It's football, but it's a different way that they build their teams. It's a different way that their organizations are built, and it's a different money that's available.
Yeah, you know, no, you're right. And there was a question from the reporters here about, you know, the rumors of Florida State and Clemson. Of course, Sankey wasn't going to take the bait, but to the point you're making is we're not done with change, and we may not be done with conference realignment. There's some smoke around Clemson and Florida State, and whether or not they're going to head to the Big 12, which you know will further redefine the dynamics of how the revenue will be shared moving forward, and I think really pare it down to what I think is a power 2.5 now. You'll have a power 3, and the ACC will probably at some point go the way of the Pac-12.
Hey, Tommy, did you get a chance to listen to Coach Kelly of LSU speak? And do you think that LSU is going to contend to be in the playoff 12 this year?
I did listen to Coach Kelly. If their defense is better, he thinks they've got a chance to contend. Their offense is going to be pretty solid with Nussmeier at quarterback. Not a lot of turnover there, but. Now, I'd like to start with a Harold Perkins. I mean, if I could start with Harold Perkins as my linebacker, that's a pretty darn good start. But obviously the defense last year is what let LSU down, and he spent some time, you know, speaking to the things that they've got to work on. And defense is where it begins for the LSU Tigers.
Phil, didn't they lose their defensive coordinator and their D-line coach and their, like, secondary coach? Didn't they kind of make an overhaul there with their defense?
They made a massive overhaul on the defensive house. Side.
Well, cleaned house.
But is there another quarterback in the league that's under more – I mean, pressure is not the way to put it, but Ellie, Garrett Nussmeier is replacing Jaden Daniels, okay? And the last time we saw Nussmeier, he was just okay. Now, I'm sure he's developed behind Daniels, but it feels like a step down of some way, you know? I mean, he's not going to be as dynamic as Daniels was, and – I mean, I really can't think of another quarterback that might be under pressure to try to step into a role and really make it his own.
Well, Quinn Ewers already has that role. I'd say Quinn's the top quarterback probably. I would expect him maybe to be the media's pick as first team all SEC, but I think from there it's kind of open, and I think Nussmeier will be somewhat in that conversation. But no, I think to your point of having that sense of urgency and that that all heaped upon your shoulders to take your team to the final 12, I think is on his shoulders. I think for Brian Kelly, it's a lot of pressure this year because I don't know that making the SEC championship game is the requirement, but I bet most LSU fans expect him to be in that group of final 12 teams that will play for the title.
Yeah, I think so too. I wonder. We've been kicking around the idea of we're expecting Andrew Armstrong leads Arkansas in receiving for a second year in a row, and wondering. You know, who amongst the wide receivers can be second in line, third in line? And maybe I'd forgotten a little bit about the dynamic duo of tight ends that finished true freshman seasons last year with shoulder injuries. But before those injuries occurred, there was a lot to like about both Luke Haz and Ty Washington in terms of pass-catching ability, running after the catch. Maybe your best weapons are tight ends.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to say just pass catchers, yeah, I'd say Luke Haz has to be in that conversation. I'd like the answer to be Isaiah Satania. Man, I'd love to see him get loose in the open field a little bit more, but teams are going to be very aware of his speed.
Hey, do you think, Tommy, do you think that Arkansas will have any offensive player on first or second team but when this thing is done? As far as preseason at the media picks, do you think Armstrong, Haz can do it?
I don't know if it'd be first team. If there was one that was going to be amongst them on the offensive side, it'd be Haz. Landon Jackson would be – I think Landon Jackson's Arkansas's best pro prospect on the team.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
So I think Landon Jackson would be the other one. So if we're just going to pick maybe best player either side of the ball, I'd go Landon Jackson would be the one on defense, and I'd say Luke Haz would be the one on offense, in my opinion.
What's reasonable numbers? You know, we're going to talk about numbers for Taylen Green. What, 2,500 yards, 3,000 yards passing through the air, you know, 700 yards rushing. What are the numbers we're getting to? It might be, hey, how good are you on third down? You know, what's your percentage? What's your passing percentage in the red zone? It might be littler things like that. But in the macro, what do you think that it's reasonable numbers for Taylen Green this year?
Oh, I think it's going to be far more balanced than what we saw with the run heavy, you know, approach that they had with KJ last year. But you know, it's 2,500 to 3,000 yards asking too much in a Bobby Petrino type offense, particularly if you keep your tight end healthy all year. For, you know, I think you've got some options at wide receiver, but guys, this offense, I think a lot of people are wait and see because they really don't know how Taylen Green's going to perform on an SEC level or an SEC stage. And that's my one hang up is, can Taylen Green get it done against the schedule that Arkansas faces? I guess we're going to find out in Stillwater, Oklahoma, early September.
I'm looking at a quarterback in Green who completed 57% of his passes last year for Boise, and that's got to be a better percentage. But I also know, Bobby Petrino is not going to go out and recruit some slappy a quarterback. Like he knows the position, and he also knows how to help somebody improve from one year to the next. So, that's got to be the biggest aspect of offense as well for this next year. Like, he's going to be able to run. How accurate will Green be?
To me, it still comes back to how well will Carmona and Blackstock be at your tackle spots. You got three new guys that are expected to be starters up front with Nichols at center. Got Kutis and Braun back as the guards. One thing we know, and Clay has said this a million times, you don't let the quarterback get hit in a Bobby Petrino offense. How well can they protect this guy? Matt, do they roll the pocket? Can this guy be more drop back? I'm interested to see because he's not going to be able to take off and run the way KJ did. I'm not saying he can't run the ball, but he's not going to be that kind of runner. Matt, how do you protect this guy? We may not know the real answer to until we see him play real football.
Yeah, and I think to your point in a Petrino offense, he'll get rid of the ball quicker, and that's one way you can kind of stop the blitz and get the ball outside to your playmakers as quick as you can.
Yeah, because when Harold Perkins is breathing down your neck, it's just a different level than what he's seen at Boise State. How will he make those decisions in that 10th of a second?
Yeah, we've seen Harold Perkins once you feel the breath on your neck, it's pretty much
you
over.
You got to run right at him. If that's the thing. If he's in a chase mode, he's going to catch it. He's too good of an athlete. You can't really do outside anything else. You just got to run right at him and take your chances.
Tommy said that he was right there next to him just before we started this segment. What does Harold Perkins look like without pads and a helmet?
Well, he's in a suit and tie, so hard to tell, but he looked like a full-grown man. Brian Kelly talked earlier about his weight because he was questioned about are they preparing him for his next job as a pro football player or helping this football team right now because he played inside. And I think, Matt, you can speak to this greater, but most don't believe he'll be an inside linebacker at the next level. And he talked about him putting on, I think he said 20 pounds, a good weight. And, so he looked – I don't have a good enough frame of reference, but – he looked like someone I'd want on my side if things turned the wrong way.
Yeah, he's going to be a linebacker that goes side to side and can chase you down and use his athletic ability. And the thing about Perkins is he can make one-on-one tackles in space that can save chunk plays because usually when it's one-on-one, it's advantage who the ball carrier, not when Perkins is there.
Well, and to me, he's your best athlete probably on the defensive side, most versatile. And, you say he's an inside linebacker, but how many times does he step up to the line of scrimmage and then drop back, or maybe he blitzes? He can go lateral. There's just so many things he can do because, as you were saying, his athleticism, you may list him as an inside linebacker, but really, he's kind of a rover out there.
There you go.
He can do it all.
He's like the rover that like a Tony Bua almost. You just put him anywhere and you scheme it up where you know that he can be open and let him play free.
Yeah, and he usually finds the football when the play's over. So,
well, what's the depth of linebacker at Arkansas? That's a position that I just don't know. We haven't seen enough of them, play to really have a sense. But I know about Xavier Sory, Alex Sanford, Brad Spence. That's a position, I don't know if I say of worry, you just haven't seen them enough yet.
Yeah, I think you're going to be a nickel a lot as a result. And I think that, you're going to have maybe a couple of those guys out there. And, the question is, I think you're in four down and two linebackers and a lot of nickel throughout the year. But, Brad Sory is really the one you've seen the most of. And then you look at Sory and Worth and Dix, they're all transfer players. So unless you want to base a real opinion on spring football, I'd say it's a wait and see deal. But as long as I've been doing this, there's been very few seasons we didn't ask about depth at linebacker, and I'm sure that's going to be a perennial question tomorrow to the head coach at Arkansas because it seems to come up every year.
It's got to be pretty cool that this event also coincides with the All-Star festivities being just right down the highway, 15 or 20 minutes away. Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow. You're going to try to fight and find a ticket to either of these things?
Which would be the harder ticket to get? The Home Run Derby?
I guess, or
the All-Star Game.
If you wear a Columbia National Team jersey, they let you in.
Matt, you'd be so proud. I stayed up, what was it, 15 after 11 or something?
That started late, yeah.
I watched all the way to the end of regulation, and then extra time, and then more overage time, and I was so disappointed when they scored that goal because the reason I stayed up is I wanted to see some penalty kicks.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, go ask Nick Saban for his credential. That'll get you into the All-Star game, okay?
You know, I'm walking through there to hook up the recorder, and I'm kind of in a hurry, and I'm walking with a sense of urgency, and I'm walking behind this stage, and Laura Rutledge's there, and she, of course, noticed me as I walked by, you know. And I look, and, oh, there's Nick Saban. I just kept on walking. Like, kind of caught me off guard. And he turned around, and he looked right at me, and, I just kept on going before I got yelled at. So
that's funny. That's because I've had instances like that, too.
Everything about that was true except Laura Rutledge locked eyes with me. Everything else was true. So
every once in a while when you like run into a famous person like that, your thoughts come through your mouth. Like I did that before. Like Matthew McConaughey was on a flight of mine, and I remember my daughter running right past him, and as I'm running and chasing her, and she was like 4 years old, out of my mouth. I mean, I literally said, hey, that's Matthew McConaughey, instead of just thinking it. You must have said the same thing with Saban right there.
So Sankey's up there, and he gets a question about Nick Saban's value to the game of college football and to the league. And then Brian Kelly gets a question in reference to Nick Saban as well. And I thought both times I physically turned around and looked. And the first time when Sankey was speaking, Saban had spun his chair around on the SEC Network set, and he was watching the commissioner's address. He had his back turned to Brian Kelly, but I thought that was an interesting dynamic that someone that comes up in the questioning or the conversation of media days, the subject of the question sitting in the back of the room. That I don't know that I've ever witnessed that before.
Well, it looks like, who do you got? It's Lane Kiffin coming up in about, 15 minutes or so?
Yeah, where'd my schedule go? Ty just moved on my paper. I think it's 150. For Lane Kiffin and then Clark Lee at 3:20. I'm interested. I'm going to get in there here in a minute and see what Coach Kiffin has to say. Obviously, with the loss of his father last week, his tone may be a little different, but I expect him to tell some great stories about his dad and then talk about his football team.
Well, we'll be listening when he does talk. Tommy, appreciate you coming on. We'll have you on tomorrow. We'll have you on Wednesday as well.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks, Tommy.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com. This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
My Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Making your cat happy is a number one priority. Priority number two is keeping a clean litter box. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter helps you do both. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter traps waste at the surface with less crumbles and absorbs more waste and odor compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Find Fresh Step Outstretch Litter at a store near you today. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life.
Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.